Welcome to I'm Screaming, a podcast for anyone who's ever felt like shamelessly screaming at the top of their lungs over a moment in pop culture.
Because sometimes pop culture can be scary and you just gotta let it out. Let's scream about it together.
Hello, Megan.
Hi, Giselle.
Here we are.
Here we are.
In the era of Cowboy Carter.
It's just such a great place to be, isn't it?
It really is so transformative. It's transcendent. I mean, just so much to say that's happened to us over the last few days.
I know. It's been a great week since we last chatted.
It has.
Giselle turned 29 on the 29th.
I did.
Her golden B-day.
My golden birthday with Cowboy Carter. Truly, that was the theme. We celebrated. We truly celebrated. Everyone came out, showed out in their cowboy attire. Shots were had. Dances were danced.
Not by Megan.
Megan was really good about not taking shots. But, of course, on my birthday, I was like, yeah, shots.
Yeah, but also I made the error of then not switching from wine. So it all comes out in the wash.
It all comes out in the wash.
We're just too old for it. I'm too old for it, at least.
I'm absolutely too old for it. I was wrecked the next day. But it was truly, I had the best time. I feel like everyone hopefully had a great time. But yeah, Cowboy Carter is in the world, and I listened at midnight. Meg listened a little bit before Icon. Truly, like, always finding the leaks somehow. Which is iconic behavior to me.
The thing was, is that this wasn't your traditional leak, right? Like, it was out at midnight standard time,
yeah.
Like, local time. So it was out in, like, New Zealand and Australia at, like, 11 a.m. on Thursday.
Does that always happen with albums?
No.
Okay.
They're not always. Normally, most of the time, it's, like, a midnight Eastern situation. Because New York's center of the world.
Right.
But it wasn't the case for that, for Beyonce, which was, like, exciting. And yeah, I mean, I didn't have to dig that much, but I found a Google Drive link to it, and I said, you know what, I'm a bit sleepy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to make it to midnight, and I want to be able to listen in full, and I did. And then, of course, immediately pressed play on it first thing when I woke up Friday.
Yes.
Have listened to it. It really is just so hard to not listen to it in full.
I agree.
I would say.
I agree.
Same as I felt about Renaissance when it first came out too, because the transitions are just so iconic.
Yes.
But I have started to dabble as it's, like, been added to my day list and stuff and
we
listening
love
to
day
like
list.
The songs kind of one off.
Today my day list is Coastal Cowgirl Granola Vibes.
Granola, what's mine? Let me look.
Coastal Cowgirl.
Mine is Wanderlust Van Life Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, obsessed.
You listen to Corporate and Granola Vibes on Wednesday afternoons.
Thank you.
We have some Noah Kahan. We have some Lizzie McAlpine. We have Gatlin. We have Hozier.
Okay, obsessed.
No Beyonce, though. Weird. She was in it this morning because I listened to Tyrant when I went to go get coffee.
Oh, a smash hit record. Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, should we just dive in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, first and foremost, we start with American Requiem, which is incredible. I mean,
it's...
Go ahead.
The vocals have just never been better.
Yeah. Anyone that had anything to say about Beyonce as a vocal artist, like, I hope you, like, are eating your words, eating crow. Like, people really try to come for Beyonce and say that she's not a vocalist. Like, I dare to say she's one of our best vocalists today.
Absolutely.
At least in the mainstream, to me, 100%. Beyonce is the vocalist. Like, my sister was eating these vocals down.
It's like her, Adele, and Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, like, it's right really now. Unreal. And she just begins, we know we're going to be on a journey. This album is a journey. It's a story. Like, she's giving us a visual. She's just, like, she's really kicking us off for something that, I mean, is unlike anything else.
It's really special, and I think people have twisted themselves into knots trying to critique it.
Yeah.
In so many ways, as I'm sure you've seen. But it really is just something to behold, something to witness, something to, like, experience as it happens.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool and special. And like, I'm just like, yeah, there's so much still to discover. Like, it is long. It's long.
It's very long. It's very long.
I get to like Levi's jeans. Maybe Yaya.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oof. There's still got 7 songs left.
We've still got some tracks.
But, you know, it ebbs and flows. And I think that the fact that there's interludes and there's, like, shorter tracks towards the back half, like, then, you know, because, like, yeah. Louisiana into Desert Eagle, and then we get Riverdance. But it is, it's just, like, really profound, and like, are we surprised? Absolutely not.
Right. And then like, even the covers that she did, like American Requiem into Blackbird, which, you know, obviously a Beatles cover, obviously was talking about the civil rights movement, black women, all the things. And the fact that she features those 4 black female country artists who are like kind of up and coming, like, mm-hmm. first of all, I've heard many people talk about their streams have like gone up 400% since the song came out, which is amazing. And it's just like, that is Beyonce's power. Like, she's right. So powerful. Like
even in advance of the album, I think their streams went up.
Literally.
Which just goes to show like the way people were anticipating it. Even like not knowing they were, 'cause like Tanner Adele, and I had seen this like the day after the Super Bowl when it was announced, that like she was like, oh, like as an up and coming country black female country artist, like I hope Beyonce like sprinkles a bit of her magic on me. And all the replies were like, girl, the album is done,
right?
You know,
like, okay.
And then it turns out like she was on it, and like, you know, we've since learned that I think the Miley collab came about after the Grammys,
yeah,
which is crazy. So, you know, it's never too late. Shoot your shot. Get out there. I don't know if that was just a red herring and she was like, oh, actually, she knew she was going to be on it already.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so good. And, like, people have so much to say about the covers. You've seen that girl on TikTok that everyone's...
The one that she deleted her videos because she knew she was foolish?
Yes. Sam Dahl, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And I've just seen her before, and she just... It was so insane to watch it, and just, you just know where it's coming from,
yeah.
And like what it's like, and it's so sick and twisted, and like, she's pretending to just like for it to be a hot take.
Right.
And saying like that Blackbird is boring and whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a 2-minute song, babe. How could it be boring?
And also,
like,
it's a song that's already been done before. And, yeah. Like, everyone's saying she was, like, a Beatles fan. But was it you that reposted something that made me laugh? Like, it was this black girl who was talking about it, and she was like, she must, like, need to pay her bills or something.
Yes.
She needs to make something shake. So she was like...
She just got married. The florists are calling. The bills are due.
When I was like, Meg reposted, I was like, okay, immediately need to watch. And then I also reposted it. I was like, this is funny. I love that saying. Gotta make something shake.
Gotta make something shake.
She was like, let me talk shit about Beyonce on the internet. No, but literally, like, all I'm seeing on my feed are people just like reposting that and talking, like, you know, like, yeah, saying stuff about it. But
she's just getting insanely dunked on. Like the original post never even got to like 10,000 likes. It was, you know, because then it goes to 10K, and instead of like the actual number, it was at like 5,000 or something, and there were like more comments.
Yeah.
She got so badly ratioed, and like, it is just like so silly, and
yeah,
I bet she feels foolish.
She should. And like, the thing about it is like, we are Beehive members. Like, we love Beyonce so much and we think she's amazing, but like, no one, even our faves, is not above critique.
Right.
But like, to critique the way she was critiquing and the things she was actually saying, like, actually had no validity and didn't make sense. It's
right.
Like, if you're gonna sit here and give a poignant critique of Cowboy Carter, like, and I saw another white woman who was talking about this in response to that other white woman, mm-hmm. and she was like, the thing I love about Beyonce is that like, Beyonce, like, teaches me, right? And she's like,
I saw that one.
Yeah, yeah. And she was like, there's so, like, there's required reading and, like, there's things you need to understand when you enter this album. And, like, I appreciated what she was saying. She's like, as a white Beyonce fan, like, this actually isn't made for me. And, like, right. how do I consume this media and, like, enjoy this person and continue to stan Beyonce, but, like, actually do what I'm supposed to do and, like, recognize what she's trying to say? Mm-hmm. And, like, it's so true. It's like Cowboy Carter, like 16 Carriages, all these songs are like, you know, Riverdance, Spaghetti are fun songs and great just like listening things to listen to, you know? But like when you actually think about what Beyonce's doing and like the impact that she has and like all based on an experience that happened to her, one of the biggest people in the world, what she was discriminated against, and this is the art that came out of it. It's like, as we always say, like, you can call Beyonce, like, a lot of things. You can say she's just, like, a spineless billionaire, which is truly the only critique maybe you can give her, because she is a billionaire. But, like, not being an artist, the artistry, not being a performer, that's something you literally can't say. You can't say it.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I know. And it is. Everyone's talking about now, like, if she doesn't win Album of the Year for this, like, what is gonna, you know...
Meg, now I'm on my soapbox, like, but like it's so, you've heard me talk about this before, so many different things, but like it's so frustrating when we live in a world where like, as a black person, specifically a black woman, like this is deserved. Like obviously Cowboy Carter deserves Album of the Year, like, but so did Lemonade, so did, you know, so did Renaissance, and it's like it just feels like we're kind of slighting Beyonce to like, and people are going to be like, oh, she's just getting this because like Jay-Z made that speech, or like people have complained that she hasn't gotten it before, even though she deserves it. Like it sucks that there feels like there's some sort of like some preconceived notion about her winning Album of the Year, or like some people are going to be like, oh, they just gave it to her. It's like, that's so crazy. But like, that is what's going to happen because we continuously don't award like people of color, black women, for like what they've done in the past, and now it feels like, okay, finally we'll give it to her. But like, it's not a give it to her situation. Mm-hmm. But like, why does it still feel like I'm not settled with the fact that, like, I don't know, I hate that. Like, this album deserves it, and like Beyonce has deserved it forever, but I just like hate the idea that there is this like thing surrounding it of like, you know, finally, or like, oh, we'll just give it to her. Like, there shouldn't be a just give it to her, you know?
Right. And like, you know, it is so interesting. No, totally. And I 100% agree. And I think what's so interesting about that whole narrative, there's people who I think, because there's that line in, is it Sweet Honey Bucken? When she brings up Album of the Year?
Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't win, like, take it on the chin or whatever. Yeah. Like, gonna come back for whatever. And it's just like, it actually, like, for me, really humanizes Beyonce in a lot of ways. Because I think people are, like, mad that that line's in there. Like, I saw some tweets about it. Like, why does she care? Like why is she even bringing it up? Whatever. And it's, like, because she does care. Because she's a human being. And
normalize caring.
And, I mean, that's where this album came from, right? Is because she went into a space and was treated with disdain and, like, racism. And came out and said, you know what, I'm gonna like prove all of those people wrong and prove to them that I belong there. And I think there's like a really larger conversation, and I'm sure like this is something that you probably relate to, like being a black person in white spaces and like being feeling conflicted, like wanting to belong but also not wanting to like give anyone the satisfaction of wanting to belong. And I think, again, I think that like really 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 humanizes Beyonce for me. Like, she still, of course she cares. Like, she's just a person.
Right.
And she wants to be recognized for her art.
Totally.
And I don't know. That doesn't make me mad. You know what I mean? But no, I don't know.
You're so right. Like, the idea of just, like, we always talk about this with actors and all these things. We joke about it. But truly, like, normalize caring about something. Like, normalize wanting something that you deserve. Like, it's okay. And it's true. And, like, I totally agree.
We don't want to give the Grammys, like, that much sway over, you know, actually what is the best album of the year. As we've said, right? Like, we talked about it after the Grammys. Like, Midnights was given that award because of the tour and the year and whatever.
Yeah.
And that does not make it, like, the album of the year at the end of the day, like, the best album of the year.
Yeah.
Same with Harry the year before. Like,
and we love
they get it wrong more. Yeah. Yeah, and they get it wrong more often than not, and that's the thing. But, like, unfortunately, like, these institutions, they are institutions for a reason, and we just, like, all Beyoncé's doing is just trying to literally, like, conquer it.
Right. And, like, as much as we want to, like, Beyoncé can, like, she doesn't actually have to care, as people have said. Like, she is the most, one of the most famous people in the world. But, like, mm-hmm. Beyoncé being the biggest, one of the biggest performers in the world and a black woman, fighting to be recognized is opening the doors for a lot of other people of color who deserve to be recognized and in the future will continue to be recognized. Like, right. That's what we're all doing. Like, that's what the people before her did. Like, the Princes of the world, the Tinas, the Stevies, like, the Michaels, all those things. Like, we're not there yet, and we're so far from being there. But if there aren't people like Beyoncé fighting for us, like, and people can, you know, say whatever, but I believe that she cares, like, about absolutely. That, at least. Like, yeah, about artistry and, like, Beyoncé walks so, like, Victoria Monet's can run, you know? Like, I truly believe that. So, I don't know. I just feel like people can say what they want about her, but, like, denying that what she does in this artistry, in this era of Beyoncé, is changing shit, like, I don't think you can deny that.
Absolutely. And I mean, that line that's in the song about album of the year, like, there's a possibility they fucking don't give it to her.
Right. You know, I mean, it's a tough year.
It's happened way too many times.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what that line then becomes, if that doesn't happen,
yeah,
you know, it becomes like a premonition, right?
Right. Literally.
So I just think there's so much in here. There's so much to unpack. There's so much to still just, like, sit with.
I know.
I mean, the Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, like, you couldn't get two bigger country legends.
I know.
And, you know, and it's like a stamp of approval as well, totally. Of course. And it's kind of like, I saw tweets and it's so true. It's like, oh, what are they going to do? Not, you know, snub Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton on a country album, number one country album. And obviously, like, Linda Martell. I think the collabs are so interesting.
The Miley one, like, I think it's, I mean, I guess that's the song she's, like, is the single, the next single?
I think so.
So, like, I'm hoping that will be a number one record, and also, like, Miley's second number one, which is crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, Miley, like, really thinking about it, like, if you were to ask me, like, you know, 2 months ago, if I thought Miley Cyrus would be on a Beyoncé album, I would say absolutely not. But, like, it makes so much sense. And also, like, wow. Like, that's crazy. It speaks to Miley's talent to me.
It's so crazy. And, I mean, also didn't have a Grammy 2 months ago, you know? So crazy. It's just, like,
Miley's arc is wild. Like, I know she's kind of nepotism, but, like, she is nepotism, I guess. But also, like, she's so surpassed her, like, sorry, like, deadbeat dad at this point.
Absolutely.
But the thing, one thing, as we've always said, like, we've always stood on business for Miley Cyrus. Like, our girl is talented down. Miley Cyrus can sing.
Absolutely. I think it's so, the harmony on that song is so beautiful. Like, when Miley goes up, Beyonce goes down, and then they swap, and it's just, like, really, really special. And I mean, like, of course you can see that song just being a Beyonce song, right?
Yeah.
But I do think it's inspired to have Miley on it. Like,
yes, Meg, and it is inspired. You're so right. Also, we have to give a little shout out to Levi's Jeans. We're standing for Posty on that.
Post Malone about to be a very rich man. I mean, he already is. The thing is, I was looking at the streams on Post Malone songs the other day, because I was like, he's on the Beyoncé album, on a great track on the Beyoncé album.
Yeah, like, it's a really good
really,
one.
Really, really good one, and very fun. And he's about to be on the Taylor Swift album as well.
Oh, yeah, wow.
But I was looking at his streams. Sunflower, 3.2 billion streams.
I love that
on
song.
That song.
I've got some streams on that song.
2.4 billion streams. Rockstar, 2.9 billion streams. Like, Post Malone, 61.8 million monthly listeners on Spotify.
Wow.
Crazy.
It is crazy. He
seems kind of like a good person. So, like, we're going to...
Yeah.
We're going to have to stand on that one.
We are. We're definitely... Beyonce told us that we are standing. Beyonce and Taylor were like, no, we're standing Post Malone. And we said, okay, fine. Roger that. Roger that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, before we get into our faves, like, how do we feel about officially no Taylor on the album? I feel like now that I've seen it, it makes more sense, but...
Absolutely.
I was, I really believed it for a second.
I know. It made sense because, like, of the whole supporting each other at the premieres thing. It feels a little
started
bit,
as
you
a
know,
country
like
artist,
Easter eggy. But it is that I do think Taylor's so far removed from country music.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's, I can almost like see Beyonce featuring on like debut or something. Like,
yeah,
the re-record before I would see. Taylor
on a Beyonce. Yeah.
She wouldn't work. And I mean, the Swifties tried. They tried to lie and scheme.
They couldn't
stand that Beyonce had a day.
It
wasn't about Taylor. And they were trying to say that she was doing background vocals on Bodyguard. Which, like, Bodyguard is, like, one of the kind of runaway hits a little bit. Like, people are kind of loving it. And
I love it.
I could be your bodyguard.
So good.
And it's just like, I think Taylor Swift has come a long way on the vocals, right?
Yes,
like, there's a reason why these re-records are hitting so hard, especially the earlier ones, because her voice has improved. And as someone who's seen the Eras Tour twice, like, girl is singing, like, mic is on, like, she's doing great. But, like, you wouldn't call Taylor up to do backing vocals on a Beyonce song.
Absolutely
like,
not.
Let's be so fucking for real for a second.
With
love and respect, like, absolutely not. Like, my two comfort billionaires, like would love to have them on a song together, but like, no.
hearts to Taylor, but like, Swifties, we must calm down. We must breathe. We must touch grass.
It was like on Genius or whatever it said it, and someone was like, baby girl, anyone can edit that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Wikipedia.
Literally. So funny. Okay, yeah, wait, what are your faves? I feel like my so many, but like my immediate hits were Bodyguard, Daughter, of course, Spaghetti, Two Most Wanted, Levi's Jeans, Yaya, Riverdance is literally my favorite fucking song.
Yeah.
Bounce on that shit, dance. And Tyrant. I feel like I like a lot of them, but those are like, I feel like those are like my just, you know, I go back to them a lot in the beginning.
Absolutely. I think I really love Blackbird so much.
Totally.
Like, and obviously it's a cover. Like, I actually don't know if you know this about me, but I had a real Beatles phase when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I got the Beatles number one greatest hits, like the red album with the yellow one on it. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
On CD. And we just listened to it in the car all the time.
I love this.
So this really, like, gave me, like...
It was for you.
Obviously, like, it was for me. I mean, American Requiem is just... It's really hard. Also, I still feel that 16 Carriages is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
It's, like, I'm just gonna name all of it. But Protector? Ugh.
Mommy,
well, can you play the Dolo Bye-Bye? Bye-Bye.
I know. It's too much.
And then have you seen this stuff about how My Rose is Mr. Sir on the CD?
Yes, I did see this.
So I think that's for Sir, which we wish him well.
We're always like, what's going on with
We're always
Mr.
wondering where he is, but also
Sir.
Like, I'm sure he's fine.
Yes, being rich, like, I think he's fine.
But also, people think that the album was initially going to be called Beyonce, like, the whole, like, misspelling
of
her mom's name and all that stuff. That's how you would pronounce it, I guess.
Yeah.
But changed to Cowboy Carter because on the vinyl that people have gotten, like, the bundle, it says it's much more prominently featured and Cowboy Carter is less so, which, like, you know. I think people were saying there's already a self-titled Beyonce album. It would be very close, like, which I 100% kind of agree with.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I going with this? Yes, Bodyguard's so fun. Daughter, so good. Especially it's hit so hard good. In Spin last night because we did have Giselle's birthday ride to a Beyonce ride, and it was amazing. It was
so overwhelming and transcendent. Like, truly, it was the best day of my life. Like, yeah. It was amazing.
Obviously, Miley, the post song. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, everything you said, basically. I love Two Hands to Heaven.
Yes, definitely.
Two Hands to Heaven.
So good. Amen's amazing.
Amen's amazing because it's such a bookmark, obviously. Yeah. Like, she, you know, like, brings back the American Requiem kind of, like, reprise in that song. But also, I do just feel... And I saw this tweet, and then I saw people being like, it's just the end of the album, but the way it kind of builds, and then just there's like that note.
But you've seen it goes right into I'm That Girl.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is Beyonce's mind. Like, she was like, these people are literally depressed here.
But because Cowboy Carter was supposed to come out first.
Yes. The lore. I know, it's so crazy, actually. Like, what if that was true? I just feel like it just happened the way it was supposed to happen.
Absolutely. Oh my god, this is like the perfect time for this album. July of 2022 was mm-hmm. the perfect time for Renaissance, and yeah, and I can't wait for the rock album featuring Hayley Williams.
Like, I really believe it could happen.
If you believe it will happen.
Apparently it only makes sense to me, and you know Hayley Williams is like wants it.
And, you know, you saw she sent flowers to, like, Jack White or whatever.
Yeah.
And his post about it, like, no one can sing like you, madam. I was like, exactly, though. Exactly.
It's so, like, Beyonce, I mean, just to say, like, she's just so powerful. Like, I was just spending some time with her yesterday, just, like, going back to the different albums and the eras and just, like, thinking about when... self-titled drops, like, just truly, like, her power. Like, I remember the moment, like, freshman year of college in a car going somewhere, and this girl next to me looked at me and was like, Beyonce just dropped an album and my whole life changed. And then also just remembering, like, Formation and us being like, is she gonna perform at the Super Bowl? She would never perform Formation at the Super Bowl, but then she literally did. Like, it was, she's just so iconic. Like, for thinking back to, like, when Oprah was still on the air and sitting in my parents' house and, like, remembering at, like, the last season of Oprah, she performed Run the World Girls. And I just remember sitting on my parents' couch, like, watching it at, like, the 3 p.m. hour. Like, she's just... And, like, and then at the 2009 VMAs when she, like, showcased the fucking pregnancy bump after singing Love on Top and expands to Jay-Z and Kanye. Like, she's just so iconic. There's been so many moments. And the fact that she continues to just... deliver her best work in her 40s, like, it's just, oh god, I love her.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no one like her. She just said, she said it herself, I'm one of one.
She's literally the
I'm
one.
Number one, I'm the only one. She's the only one. I also think about that summer 2020 when The Gift came out in July.
You know how I feel about that.
And we just listened to that, and I remember you were still living at Palmetto Street, mm-hmm. and... we just streamed the shit out of that album.
Black is King. Coachella.
I mean, the Homecoming, you know what the Homecoming live album means to me.
I know.
It means everything to me. Oh, God,
she's so iconic. Like, I'm so thankful to be existing at the same time as Beyonce. I'm so thankful.
Oh, my God, there's 40 tracks on Homecoming, which, by the way, I found in the store the other day. When I was finding Renaissance for you. And
I was listening to it today, of course.
And it's so thick. It's like twice the size of the Renaissance packet.
I feel like you need it.
I know. It's kind of going to be one of those purchases when it's like one day I just see it and I'm going to be like, oop, treat.
Yeah, literally needs a treat. But yeah, I mean,
her discography is nuts. And like,
and people, like,
we were
like, B-Day, like, let's actually not forget.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dangerously in Love was, like, the first CD I ever bought.
I'm in love with you. You set me free. Come on, bitch. Oh, my God. Beyonce. And then we can't even forget fucking the Carters.
I know. Oh, my God.
That dropped the year I moved to New York. Ape shit.
Oh, I'm gonna be so sad when she probably goes away after the third act.
I know, we're not gonna see her for so long.
Because it is just nice to be able to see her.
It's gonna actually be devastating. Okay, final thing on this, but what are we feeling for? Do we think we're getting a live announcement on Friday?
Apparently, that's what everyone's saying.
You think tour or residency?
Tour.
You think tour?
She said to fans in Tokyo, like, I'll see you. Yeah.
Okay, man, we need to get our finances in order. I'm already so broke from everything.
Girl, the credit card payments that are about to hit my bank account next week.
I know.
I can't even speak about them.
It's so dark.
I was just doing all my finances before this call, and I was like, oh no, I'm so poor.
No, it's actually so incredibly dark to think about. So, like, I saw a TikTok right before we got on this call that was like, Beyonce, I know you're a billionaire, but, like, between the album, the fucking hair products, the new perfume, and the tour thing dropping, like, I am broke, babe. Like, I literally can't do it. But I don't care if I have to do a motherfucking payment plan. Megan Catherine Brady and Giselle Malone Smith will be fucking sat in that stadium watching this fucking performance. I don't care.
No, we have to be, because it's redemption. Like,
it's redemption.
I want to go so badly.
Same. We will be there.
Wow, my liked songs, I don't normally like songs on Spotify. Like, I gave that up about a couple years ago, but yeah. I've liked 100 Beyonce songs, and that doesn't even feel like that many, to be honest. No.
Like, and even in class yesterday, like, as Meg said, we did a spin class that was only Beyonce themed, that, like, apparently now Jasmine's going to do more, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, the energy is next level. It's different. It's different.
It was so good.
I hope the rest of the fucking class was feeling what we were feeling.
I think they were. But I was kind of so in the zone with you that I
know. Me and you were literally.
I kept
looking at you. I was like, Meg, is this happening? I was like, my sister, I'm so happy. Ending with I care.
I know. I actually, like, in the moment, I was like, wait, this is definitely one of Giselle's favorite songs, and we didn't even request it.
Literally, it is. Like, oh my God. It was so amazing. Okay, well, that's our Cowboy Carter review, which is basically we love it. So.
I mean, yeah. And again, it's like we did some fucking commentary too, but also with albums like this, they're just gonna grow and change, and I'm like, you're gonna just feel.
Heat It didn't become my favorite song on Renaissance for like months. Alien Superstar was my
same
was my knockout favorite, and then like Heat It just grew on me, and now it's like literally one of my most played songs ever.
I was like a very basic Cuff It girl,
right? I do remember the Cuff It era,
which like was fun and fine. But yes, Heated really crept up. I also like feel like Summer Renaissance did not get her moment, so maybe we should make that this summer.
Yeah, I agree. It's gonna be our soundtrack. Love it.
Love it.
Done. Okay, should we move into Lizzo?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I'm just like, it's giving. So basically, if you guys don't know, Lizzo has had a lot of drama over the last year, few months, I guess, and she posted, like, an in-story, but then, like, you know, where you write in your stories and then, like, post it on your feed, like, I can't take this anymore, like, I can't take people saying shit about me and, like, wrong things and, like, putting my character into question, yada yada, I just want to make my art, and then she was like, I quit. And, of course, everyone's like, no, Lizzo, we love you. And then, but there's also people being also, like, incredibly terrible in her comments, which, like,
is,
you know, whatever. They shouldn't do that. But also, if you're going to post something like that, people are going to be like, yeah, quit. But then she posted a video, I guess, like, a few days later of her, like, of course, in, like, fucking Yitty. I'm just like, leave us alone with Yitty in a swimsuit. I mean, she is beautiful, looking beautiful, but... She was like, okay, well, I had to make this video to clarify. Actually, I'm not quitting. I just don't like when people talk shit about me, but I want to make my art. I was like, what? I hate it. I hate shit like this.
Girl, just delete social media.
Literally. And I saw on TikTok, actually, last week, she posted, like, I just, like, wish that TikTok would go back to how it was in 2020. Like, it literally, you know, I hate when influencers get on their fucking Instagram and they're like, oh my God, the algorithm, like, no one's seeing my posts. Like, I'm so sad. Like my stuff. Like, you know I hate that.
It's like, no one, I'm not an influencer, but, like, no one likes my fucking Instagrams anymore. I post them for me.
Literally,
and like, my friends. I literally post them for me and the people that I tag them in. Like, literally, that's it. It's like, get a life.
Get a life.
I guess it's, like, their livelihood, but.
But so. When you're Lizzo, like, you're literally getting on TikTok and basically complaining that no one sees your videos anymore. And then, like, this whole thing, like, I just feel like instead of doing this, like, get on your Instagram and, like, talk about how you quit and then take it back, like, just release the music then. Like, if you say all you want to do is release the art, then, like, release the art. And I just, like, hate this arc that has happened for Lizzo. Like, I hate that we're here. I really hate that we're here because, like, she really was, like, a beacon of hope and light and, like, you know, like, body positivity, positivity in general. Like, I was rocking on the Lizzo train, even if the music always didn't hit. But, like, when it hit, it hit.
Yeah.
But we've fallen so far that I just don't know if we can ever claw ourselves back.
Literally. That's how it's feeling. We've fallen so far. It's feeling really dark for her. I mean, I know that, like, that there's still, like, a case open and the judge, like, refused to throw it out, like, a month ago. This is going to trial or something. Like, it sucks. It sucks, you know, like, we don't know everything, obviously. We don't have all the facts. But clearly, like, as we've said before, like, she was, like, such a light, I feel like. And clearly wasn't also like that privately. And so that's, like, really disappointing. But also it is just disappointing, like, that also because of that now people are using that as an excuse to be, like, awful and racist and whatever. Like, that's always been, like, our narrative on this situation. And this just feels like she's in a dark place. It's not going well for her. And, like, honestly, it felt kind of like an attention grab a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And it's
absolutely.
Just like, and then that feels icky too, because it's like, just go away for a bit. You know what I mean?
And then, like, the next video was her being like, my new Yitty. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel like she's having a crisis between, like, being one of the most famous people ever, like, everyone loving her and just giving her so much attention, to, like, now everyone, like, it's just so different that, like, she doesn't know how to cope with it. Which, I mean, I don't know if anyone really could know how to cope with it, like, falling from grace so quickly, but this is maybe not the way to do it.
It's just, dark.
Do you feel like, when it comes to, like, releasing her next single or music, like, I feel like what she's gonna do is, like, some sort of, like, you know, similar to what Rumors was, like, all you hoes talk about me, but I'm great, you know, or, like, some kind of shit like that, whereas, like, I don't actually want that. Like, I would prefer you just release a good song. But I guess Lizzo's whole brand is, like, clapping back, you know?
I know. I just, like, I know. Because what? The single from 'Cause I Love You was Truth Hurts. The single from Special was, what's the song you just mentioned?
The Rumors was the, like, lead up, the lead to it.
And it wasn't actually on
about
the album,
dance time. In a minute, I'm Anita Cinnamon, met a woman to pump me up. But then it was also that. There was another song that got popular in that era. And I'm ready. But Rumors is what she came out with.
Oh, To Be Loved.
To Be Loved. But I don't think Special did as really that great, other than the singles.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Rumors was big. Cardi was on it and everything like that, you know.
Yeah.
Which, like, speaking of, what is going on with her? But I don't even answer that, because I don't even really want to know.
I mean, she's still continuing to release random singles, and, like, her and Offset are done.
But, like, are they?
Man, that's so chaotic. Because
I thought, like, that was the case before, and then all of a sudden it was like, they're still married, and they're back together, and I'm like, great.
Cardi B is such chaos, like,
so chaotic.
I can't. I will just sit on, I listen, I guess, kind of.
I mean, Invasion of Privacy was just, like, so good.
One of my favorite albums ever, truly.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry to Lizzo, and it's just feeling very dark, and we'll see what happens next. But that was the update. Okay, moving on to another person in music who's seemingly going to make a comeback is Miss Katy Perry, Katherine Perry. How do you feel about the comeback of Katy Perry?
Well, like, what's happening? She's leaving American Idol.
She's leaving American Idol. And she's supposedly in the studio.
In the studio, met Beyonce at the iHeartRadio Awards, or, like, has probably met Beyonce
yeah.
before.
I mean, I'm sorry. I think she's looking good.
She is looking good. I mean,
the outfit
We've definitely dabbled in some fillers.
Yeah, we've definitely dabbled in fillers. I saw a lot of people commenting on her Instagram, like, Ozempic. I'm like, okay, I don't know if everyone's on Ozempic, but maybe everyone is on Ozempic. Maybe. But she's always kind of been, like, looks like that to me.
Orlando Bloom commented, yes, you do the most fire heart. Because she said, like, after party making Daisy's school lunch.
Daisy!
And she replied, oh, you meant that nicely because I made lunch. Right. They're so cringe.
Katy Perry is so cringe. I mean,
Katy Perry with 200 million followers on Instagram, though. Like, very famous.
This is the thing, and this is, I guess, why I have the question, is, like, people like to dog Katy Perry. It's, like, become cool to, like, hate on Katy Perry. But, like, people forget, I've talked about Teenage Dream ad nauseum as being one of my top five favorite albums of literally all time. I will stand on that hill forever. I love that album. Mm-hmm. I heard Peacock in the club 2 weeks ago, and I was like, no. This is transcendent. Word on the street, you got something to show me? Come on! I want to see your peacock. Come on. Okay. But even, like, the recent songs she's come out with, like, the collabs, like, 365, Smash. People try to hate on the one album with Circle the Drain, but you know I love that song. Or not Circle the Drain. Change of the Rhythm. I love that song. I am a Katy
Perry. Never really over. I mean, Daisies is, like, your number one song of all time, right?
Yeah, it's one of them. It was my number one played song, I think, of 2020.
Smile was just so ridiculous. Like, why was this clown imagery happening? No, it was just bad.
We definitely lost ourselves. I think we couldn't. I saw someone talking about the fact that, like, in the 2009, 2010, 2011 era, like, all the girlies were doing, like, you know, Gaga was doing the meat dresses, like, Nicki was doing, like, the pink hair Roman thing, and, like, Katy Perry was doing, like, the California Girls, like, fruit thing, sweets thing, and, like, everyone else kind of stopped that, but Katy, like, didn't, and, like, that's, you know what I mean? It's, like, she didn't actually, like, stop and do something new, whereas I do feel like people were, like, okay, you know, we hate this, but I feel like if she comes back and drops, like, she gets back in the studio with Max, come on, find Max, pay the Max budget, get in the studio with Max, like, and I really feel like if she comes out with a great single, like, maybe she could have a moment. Not now. She needs to give it time.
She did Never Really Over, and people disrespected it. It's disrespected it.
A great song.
But yes, no, it needs to be, like, oh. Like,
far away.
Late this year.
Like October.
Next year. Yeah.
Far away from the tortured poets department.
Everyone, yeah.
But I mean, I heard that she's kind of like the mean judge on Idol.
Yeah. I think like Luke Bryan is like the clown.
Yeah.
And then like Lionel's probably like the Paula.
Yeah.
No, he's probably like the Randy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Luke Bryan is the Paula, and then she's the Simon.
I feel like every clip, other than the wig clip, I feel like she is kind of like, okay, so you're here in front of us. Why are you here? What are you going to sing?
Standing on business, Catherine.
Like, Katy, can we be a little nice? but I'm excited for her. I feel ready for her. I am a self-proclaimed Katy Cat. I wish I would have saw the Vegas residency. I would have had a blast. but Katy, we will be waiting.
We are waiting, and I mean, maybe save it for next year because we're going to be in such a drought. We're going to need it.
I know. Next year, I mean, I feel like I'm ready for Harry, but like I can even wait till Q1 for Harry. Give me some time. Just to digest all this music that I have. Or September, I guess.
Like, I know, because, like, I went back and I listened to Deeper Well after I did my listen of Cowboy Carter yesterday. And I'm, like, still discovering that album. And then we have fucking Lizzie by the time this episode comes out tomorrow.
Lizzie's tomorrow?
It's on Friday.
Oh, yeah. And then Maggie is next week also.
Maggie's next week.
And the Girl in Red album is next week.
Right, which Giselle has been saying. And, like, I feel like I was... would have been the one who was initially, I listened to the earlier Girl in Red stuff.
Yeah.
But Giselle has gotten me on the two new singles, the one featuring Sabrina and the other one. That, the production is really fun, like, and different for her a little bit. Like,
it's I felt like Girl in Red was kind of like sad girl, but this album is not giving sad girl. Meg, I have a question for you. I have a new game I'm going to introduce into our lives. I'll tell you later. That's more
okay.
And then, but I do have a question for you right now, live on the pod.
Okay.
Thinking about the Grammys next year.
Okay.
Who are our current Best New Artist nominees, do we think?
Ooh.
We had this question last night, and I have some people, but I want to know who you're thinking. I'm going to let you go before I say the people that I think will be nominated.
Oh my gosh, this is a really, really, really good question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Renee.
Yeah, that was my first answer.
Tate.
Yes, that's literally what we said. Maggie was like, Tate will be nominated and will win. I was like, okay, I don't know about winning, but.
You know what? And I mean, I haven't like stayed listening to this album, but I do think critically, I think a lot of people are into them. The Last Dinner Party.
Oh yeah, you rated that album. I don't even know who they are, but maybe I need to get into it.
It just feels like the kind of thing the Grammys would do.
Yeah. I said also potentially Sabrina. Has she been nominated before?
I don't think so, but I'm like, I still don't understand the eligibility. I mean, Chapel.
Yeah.
Should be.
Lizzie?
Maybe Lizzie, but...
If Gracie could get nominated, I think Lizzie could get nominated.
True. You know who else? That TikTok guy.
Oh.
Who has the song, These Beautiful... Benson something. Benson Boone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, you know, there's always people nominated from genres that, like, I'm not really attuned to, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be, a hip-hop artist, there's, you know.
And I guess we're so early in it right now, like, but, like, I just was, like, who are we feeling? Who's, you know?
No, that's a great question. I love that.
Maybe we'll keep it up on the pod. Like, we'll check in every few months and just be like,
I love it. Definitely more people, but I'm like,
I know, I like wasn't thinking.
What about, I don't think she'd be like yet. Rachel Chinnanuri.
Yeah, not yet maybe, but yeah. I think she definitely is like getting some acclaim.
Definitely. I love that question.
Thank you. So fun.
Making us think.
Okay, last question. It can be very short and simple. there was a John Tucker Must Die 2 announced, and if you don't know, now you know. John Tucker Must Die is one of my favorite movies of like that genre when we were younger. And I was thinking about it, and I was just like, do we need this? Do I want this actually? Like, even though John Tucker Must Die is one of my favorite movies, like, do I actually want another one? Just because now that I've had more time to sit with like the Mean Girls movie, I'm like, actually, like, I love Renee, and I like so much, but like, actually, we didn't need that at all.
No, we didn't need it. Like, did we consume it and enjoy it? Like, yes. To an extent, absolutely, but we did not need it. Like,
right. And I'm like,
every time I see a reboot, like, I just saw the other day that like Dylan Mulvaney wants to do like a trans Legally Blonde, and then then she commented on the post and was like, the musical, like, we'd never touch perfection, and I'm like, okay, like, yes, absolutely get cast in Legally Blonde the musical on Broadway, like, a revival on Broadway, but, like, I'm just, there's also, like, a Legally Blonde sequel still in the works, also, and now there's a Freaky Friday, too.
Oh, I truly don't want it.
It's the nostalgia, like,
I thought
we've
were
said
let it go.
Once. We've said it before. Nostalgia is kind of dead.
Yeah.
You have to be doing it in this like specific, really niche way and really interesting way. And I just think a lot of people aren't doing it in an interesting way. And that's unfortunate, but that's also the way it goes. Yeah. Will we go see John Tucker Must Die? Like, of course. But I'm more interested in seeing original things. I'm more interested in challengers. You know?
Problemista!
Like Problemista, which
a 5 out of 5 movie for me.
And loved. So if it's out near you, definitely go see it.
I'm so excited for challengers. Like, I literally want it more than air.
Right. But, because I think, like, that's the kind of thing that's, like, obviously things suck and everything's depressing and awful, right? And so, like, this for a while, nostalgia was, like, the thing that was, like, keeping us going. Mm-hmm. But we need to find joy in now.
Yeah, agreed.
We gotta find it somehow. Agreed. And it's gotta be through, like, a fun original movie like Challengers, which I have, you know, heard early, like, rumblings that it's really fun and great. So, yeah. I mean, like, I already feel like the Euphoria season 3 situation is, like, trying to play on nostalgia, which was, like, I remember those early days of COVID when I binged Euphoria, like, on, I think it was, like, literally Easter Sunday, and I watched all of Euphoria season 1.
I'm happy that Sam can't think of a fucking script. Bye. Let these
How
people
embarrassing.
Be free. He's so embarrassing.
How embarrassing. I feel like he's We said it. When season 2 was airing and people were coming for us, and I want everyone to know that we were right, actually.
We were so right. And also, I feel like he's still reeling from the fact that The Idol was a fucking flop. So, like, he can't, now he's probably, like, sitting in his house, like, oh my God, like, I'm an artistic failure. But it's like, we don't need Euphoria season 3. Like, let it go and do something else. Like, I'm so tired of watching young girls, like, drugged out. Like, I'm tired of it, actually. Let Zendaya go. Let Jacob Elordi go.
Oh my God.
What?
Julia Garner joins Fantastic Four as Shalabal version of Silver Surfer.
Wow.
Are we gender swapping the Silver Surfer?
What a choice. Is that what's going to bring us back to Marvel? I do think it is because
Petra. Oh my God. It's so sad. Giselle, like, we are so. It's so sad.
It's actually incredibly dark for us. But. One day we will just decide to shock you all, and we'll have watched the Marvels, and we'll give a review. But that day is not today.
I bet we'll like it.
I think we'll like it. I think
we're busy with other things, like developing the 5th annual Hot Man bracket.
Yes, you heard it here first. She is coming.
She's coming.
I'm so excited.
I think it's probably going to be a little bit late this year, but we're working on it. We got some new guys in the mix, and we have to have all of our wonderful helpers help us rank them first before it gets to you guys, but we'll have an announcement soon.
I can't believe it's the 5th annual. Crazy.
I know. Well, COVID.
I know. Right? We're getting old. Wait, but better.
No, it is the 5th, because the 4th annual on I'm Screaming.
Yes, 4th annual on I'm Screaming. But yeah, everyone, that is it. That is our episode this week. We hope you all loved it. Love Cowboy Carter. Tell us your faves. Tell us your thoughts. It was really, I loved some of you when I was talking about it on my Instagram. We're like, can't wait to hear your thoughts on the pod. Hearts. Thank you for listening. Did you know,
have you heard this thing about how
Gen Z, they do it. I don't know
how they do it. They do it like this. They do it with like their pinky. Is it like this? Or is it like, no? It's like,
I don't know how
it's
to
like
do
this.
It.
Oh no, it's like this.
Oh yeah. There we
go. Right?
Yeah, they're like this. No, you're right. It's like this.
Yeah.
But why would you do that when you could just do this? I love being a millennial.
I mean, literally, it's so confusing. Why do they have to make everything hard? So difficult? Sorry to Gen Z.
Sorry to Gen Z.
Anyway.
Hearts. But we will see you all next week for another exciting episode of I'm Screaming. We love you all so much. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, love you, Meg.
Love you, G. Yeehaw.
Yee, motherfucking yeehaw.